If you need a prosthetic limb, you can expect to shell out more than $30,000 for it. Millions of people simply can't afford them. But a Bellingham-made man has made it part of his life's work to create prosthetic hands that can be made for less than $50 each. And better yet, they can be printed out from a computer. And the design is open source. That means anybody and everybody has access to it. Ivan Owen is co-creator of the original 3D printed hand. It inspired a collaborative online community for creating affordable prosthetics. Owen told me 3D printing is nothing like that inkjet printer you might have at home.
It starts with plastic filament that kind of looks like weed whacker trimmer line.
Mm-hmm.
That gets forced through a heated nozzle by a motor, which then liquefies the plastic at the heated nozzle, and then that nozzle is moved by motors to trace out each slice of the shape.
Wow.
So, and then one layer at a time, it basically grows the plastic part.
Well, yeah. Now I'm visualizing it. You didn't actually start out training to be a prosthetics maker. You were making props for sci-fi movies, I understand, other kind of productions, right?
Yeah, well, I'd have to apply a qualifier to that of extremely low budget productions. So,
you know. Okay. You were a low budget sci-fi prop maker. So
Yeah. How
do you get from that career to working in the sort of biomedical industry?
I had put a video of a giant puppet hand that I had built online. That video was seen by a very talented and brilliant carpenter named Richard Von Oss in South Africa. He had suffered an accident where he lost fingers and was trying to come up with a design for artificial fingers in his garage workshop. We collaborated, started to develop fingers through a series of events that led to us developing an entire hand for a little boy who was born without fingers. And then at that point, we switched over from shop tools to 3D printers because it's a much easier process to repeatedly produce the same object but then gradually increase its size as a child grows. So we then took that design, shared it as a public domain design online, and that is what was then taken by other folks.
So what does the hand look like? I'm holding up my hand. It doesn't look like my hand, right?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
The hands ended up looking, well, they look like sci-fi objects, really, you know, which to the surprise of myself and many individuals in the open source community, the vast majority of the kids love it looking like a robot hand. I think because they've grown up in this high-tech age, they see it as a plus.
So I guess I can see how you put the molten plastic together and mm-hmm. and build up layers and make something that you could put on. But how does it actually function as a hand?
So most of the designs have been what's known as a partial hand prosthesis. So the majority of the kids that have received these hands were born with a palm that had no fingers. So they still have a wrist that can bend. So the way it works is that there are cables that act like tendons in the fingers. Those go to an anchor point on the forearm. And then when they bend their wrist, the distance between the back of their hand and their forearm increases. And that change in distance is what causes the cables to pull.
I'm talking with Ivan Owen. He's a co-creator of the original 3D printed hand design. And Ivan, you mentioned open source several times. So what does that mean that these designs are open source?
Well, that's one of the most interesting and fun parts about all of this is that a man named John Scholl from the Rochester Institute of Technology, he founded the Enable Google Plus community, which turned into an open source group. And what that means is that these designs are available for people to modify and improve upon and then share back with the community.
Like Wikipedia or something?
Yeah, or another great analogy would be Linux mm-hmm. Or Apache web server software. So, the open source methodology has existed for quite some time in the software world, but this is unique in that it's being applied to a hardware problem. So
you designed the original partial hand for a boy, well, first for this carpenter and then for a boy. How do you take the design for that person, for an individual person, and say, I needed new fingers? How do you adapt it for me?
If you imagine, you can take a photograph in Photoshop, let's say, and click and drag it to different sizes. You can actually do the same thing with three-dimensional design files now.
Wow.
So you know, a five-year-old would need a much smaller hand than someone like, you know, someone with a hand your size.
Right.
So a measurement would be taken of how wide and how long your hand is, and then the parts are rescaled so that they will be able to fit.
So I understand the design part. Most of us probably don't have 3D printers. I think they're expensive. I assume they're expensive. Yeah. So how would we make our hand?
Well, the price of the printers is coming down. Retail models can be had for as little as $400 but from some companies.
What if I don't have that? Where do I go?
Yeah, and if you don't have that, that's in at least in the, you know, in the sort of the industrialized world, the printers are starting to appear in a lot of interesting places. Here in Washington State, there's a lot of them in schools and even a few public libraries around the state.
Really?
Yeah. Linden, Washington, a small town up near where I live in Bellingham, they're putting a printer into the library and giving all of the people that are library members access.
And so because this is open source, I could reconfigure it to be my size or whoever I wanted it to fit and then take my file to the Linden Library and print it out.
Yeah. And in fact, there's a young guy named Mason somewhere else in the United States who printed a hand for his family friend using a printer at a library where he lived. And of course, that's just the beginnings, but I think we're going to see these printers showing up all over the place.
I'm talking with Ivan Owen. He co-created a 3D printed hand design 2 years ago. And in that time, it has sparked this online community globally for creating inexpensive prosthetic devices. You mentioned, Ivan, that your work inspired a research scientist at the Rochester Institute of Technology to found eNable. How many people so far have you helped through this forum?
That is a hard thing to estimate. I'd have to tap our person that organizes getting makers in touch with families that need devices. I'd estimate that we're between 60 and 100, if I had to just throw a rough estimate out there.
This is online. There's this group. It is global. Who are the consumers, I guess? Who are the amputees? Who are the people who get these prosthetic hands? Where are they?
So as far as who they are, most of the people using these are individuals with congenital digit loss, so where they were born without fingers on one of their hands. They're all over the place. You know, it's been pretty surprising to see where it's popped up. As far as how to get it into other countries, especially ones that with a lot of economic challenges. To our surprise, you know, one solution was in Argentina, there's a company that's formed that is doing a combination of entrepreneurial and philanthropic distribution. So for those in Argentina that can afford to pay, they'll accept payment. And then when they can afford to, they build them for free for people there as well. And something that we would like to see happen as time goes on, it hasn't happened yet, would be for charitable organizations that are already going to various countries with the intent of providing aid, to be able to teach those organizations how to build these hands so they can add that to the scope of what they're able to provide to people.
I know that you are going to be traveling later this month to Baltimore, that eNable is going to be holding a conference at Johns Hopkins. And what's the intent? What do you hope to accomplish?
The intent there is to get a conversation going between sort of the more mainstream medical community, so prosthetic technicians and clinicians, OTs, then also bring in universities, research scientists, 3D printing companies, and the makers and do-it-yourselfers, and even the families of kids that are that could benefit from these devices, to talk about how do we carry this forward so that more people can gain access.
Because at this point in time, some of the really, there are fancy electronic devices. Mm-hmm. The producer and I who have worked on this, we've talked to people who are working on stuff that your mind can control nerves in a hand. Is the ultimate goal that this would replace those kinds of high-tech prosthetic devices or run parallel to them?
Run parallel, because the high-tech devices are amazing. Dr. Chi over at Johns Hopkins, who's going to be putting on the conference with us, he's actually one of the nation's leaders in myoelectric robotic prosthetic arms. And, you know, he described it very well in that this can help to create an affordable, accessible solution for those that aren't able to gain access to the advanced technology, but the advanced technology is, in fact, superior.
That's Ivan Owen of Bellingham, co-creator of a 3D printed prosthetic hand. If you want to hear about some of or hear some of the other interviews that we've done on this subject, go to our website, kuow.org.